This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school, you're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A radiophonic novella.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Muñoz
and Diosa Femme.
Welcome back to Locatora Radio.
Welcome back to Brown Girl Hour.
This is Diosa Femme.
And this is Mala Muñoz.
Locatora Radio is where we celebrate the legacies, geniuses, and brilliance of women and femmes of color.
And this is Capítulo 22.
I'm so excited to be here.
I can't even believe it.
Yes, I'm so excited to be back.
Oh my God, and you were on a little bit of a hiatus.
I was. So in case you did not notice, I actually took over a week off because I was really ill.
Yeah.
And it was really scary.
We were all the mommies, we were all very concerned for Diosa. We were like, oh my God, what's happening?
Yeah, it was really scary, but I think once I was able to, or the doctors were able to diagnose what was going on with me, I was able to really get better. So I'm really, really, really happy to be healthy and, you know, I'm grateful for my health.
We're happy to have you back. Welcome back, girl.
Yay,
she's back.
I am back and ready to play.
And we have had some really exciting things happen. Even though you've been sick and under the weather, we've still been slaying and making things happen. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It don't stop. So we just had our special capítulo with Sounding Out. What came out this past week.
Yes. And Sounding Out, again, is a sound studies blog.
Yes.
And they were doing, like, a Chicana Soundscapes series for Latino Heritage Month, for Latinx Heritage Month. And we submitted a guest capítulo, a guest podcast, and it's all about women of color, street harassment, and public space.
Right, and the sonic soundscape of unwelcome.
Yes, sonic landscapes of unwelcome. And we just want to formally, again, you know, thank all of our listeners, all of our locamores who sent in their narratives of street harassment and surviving harassment.
Yeah, it was, wow, so many emotions to read all of these testimonios, and that y'all were able to really be vulnerable with us. Something that we do not take for granted. We're so thankful to all of y'all that really made the capítulo with sounding out what it is.
It was very special. It was very impactful. And you, on that capítulo, talking about sonic landscapes of unwelcome, we were talking about how street harassment is basically verbal abuse, and how constant exposure to that, how does it affect women of color? And we interviewed a therapist, Brenda Ingram, and I sent her the finished product, right, because she helped to contribute her knowledge to it. And she thought that it was great, and she really liked it. So I'm just so happy with it.
I'm so happy with the way it came out. I think we really produced that capítulo, which I think is just also, like, shout out to ourselves.
We
did a lot of work to put
out
for that
capítulo. Shout out to us.
So tune in, go over to Sounding Out Studies blog so you can listen to them directly. They're the actual host of the capítulo, so you won't find it on our SoundCloud.
The website is soundstudiesblog.com.
Yes.
And we'll be up there in all of our glory, so check it out.
Yes. So what else do we have going on?
Well, I mean, today we have an extremely, extremely, extremely special guest.
We do.
In studio.
So excited.
Live at Espacio 1839, which always shout out Espacio for, this is, and also this used to be,
Radio Sombra.
Radio Sombra, but it's now officially Radio Espacio. We have a logo. We have, like, new equipment. Yes. It's really exciting. So shout out to Radio Espacio. But we have Jessica Salgado.
The one and only.
Hello. But before we get into anything, today is Ariana's birthday.
Yes, ma'am.
Dios FM's birthday.
Yes, it is.
And I can't say anything without wishing her a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much.
I love you. And we got to break this mommy curse of getting sick right around her birthday.
Right. I was thinking about you the whole time. And I was like, this was Jessica right before her birthday and even during.
Yeah, but so we need to I'm glad that we get to celebrate you on your birthday.
Me too.
So I'm so excited.
I'm really excited. The Mommy Collective will be out and about tonight.
Oh yes,
and I took almost a week off, so I'm ready to be back.
Yes. We're ready to get turned tonight.
It's gonna be fun. We have a lot to celebrate.
We have so much to celebrate.
And I mean, speaking of celebrating, like, Jessica, you have so much going on.
Yes.
Talk to us about your book. Talk to us about Corazón.
So I wrote a book, Corazón, that's going to be published through notacult.media, notacult.media, and they're an amazing publisher locally, and they publish hella folks in LA, mostly people of color, mostly black poets. So it's like, I'm amongst really amazing company.
Amazing.
And they approached me and they're like, do you want to do a book? And I was like, yeah.
Of course.
And so I always knew that my first book was going to be called Corazón.
And where does that come from? Why that title?
So two different things. Caramelo is my favorite book by Sandra Cisneros. Is my favorite book in the whole wide world. So when I was young, I wanted to have the title of a book that mirrored what Caramelo was. But Corazón also, you know, in Spanish, we use it as darling. Like, oh, Corazón. And my dad would say that whenever he was in a good mood.
Okay.
And my dad was an alcoholic. So him being in a good mood was a big deal in our home.
Right.
So sometimes he'd be like, Corazón, ¿cómo te fue? Or ven aquí, Corazón. And when he passed away, I got the word Corazón tattooed on my wrist for him. So it's a word that I have a big relationship with. And also, like, I consider myself like a big old heart. Like,
right.
I'm hella emotional. I'm a Cancer.
Sure, I was going to say you're a Cancer.
So, yes, I'm a Cancer, so I'm all feelings. And it just makes sense that, in general, Corazón is a word that I identify with a lot. But for the book itself, it's a book about love and just how... And it's not about, like, oh, love. It's just, no, it's about how complicated and painful love can be. But yet we still insist on, like, returning to love. And that's what the whole book is.
Yeah, I'm in love with the cover of the book.
Oh my goodness,
isn't it beautiful?
How did you decide this cover art? It's gorgeous.
I didn't.
It's very original.
I didn't.
Super original.
So my publisher asked me, they contacted me with a designer, the cover art artist, whose name I'm completely slipping, but her name is on the website where okay. you could purchase my book. And I don't know her. I haven't met her yet. Beautiful, like, lovely person. She reached out and everything. And they asked me to send some pictures and ideas of stuff that I wanted. She didn't use any of the pictures. All I knew was that I wanted the cover to be blood orange, and she honored that.
Right.
And then she read some of the poems in the book and came back with that artwork. And so it wasn't even what I envisioned. It was something that I wanted but didn't know I wanted.
Right. And can you describe for our listeners a little bit, because I love the way that you describe the cover art, especially the specific type of mango that she included.
Yes. So it's a branch with a mango, and then it also has a heart, and the heart is the color of the leaves that are on the branch also. And the mango itself isn't like the mangoes that we know here, the big, juicy mangoes. It looks like the mangoes that grow on Salvadorian trees. And I don't know what kind of mangoes those are, but it's like the mangoes that grow on my family's property, which is why I use mangoes a lot in my poetry. I talk a lot. When I think of El Salvador, I think of my grandmother's mango trees.
Right.
And so that's where she got that from. And then there's the heart hanging is a human heart. And it's just... I didn't even know I wanted that, but it was so dope.
It's so fitting. It's like I can't even imagine it any other way, especially after reading Corazón.
Yes. I think
beautiful.
I think the cover made the book what it is, because I wasn't done with the book once I got the cover. And then seeing the cover, I was just like, oh, I completely get my entire vision.
Right. Wow. You know what's so beautiful is like your art inspired the illustrator to create her art, which in turn helped you to finish your art.
Yes.
You two influenced each other to create this book.
Yeah, definitely, because then I changed the titles to the chapters to fit. Now the first chapter is called The Hunger, and then The Fruit, The Bruising, The Ache, and The Return. And so beautiful. It's all kind of based around like growing outside of like growing and just what... like the process that a fruit takes, you know, and like what happens. And when it, with the bruising, it's a chapter that talks about when's love is bruised and it's not happy anymore, but you're still in love and you don't know if you're coming or going. And that's kind of with the fruit, right? When you drop it and it gets bruised, like the part that got hurt isn't good to eat anymore, but you're still trying to eat the fruit.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, her vision affected my vision, and I'm just so excited.
It's just so beautiful how you two had influenced each other.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think that's incredible.
Without ever meeting or knowing each other or anything like that.
It was specifically like the art that influenced the art.
Yes.
That's really
She's amazing. And I'm so mad that I didn't have her name pulled up for it. But she knows who she is. And also, if you look into the book, if you purchase the book, it'll be inside the book cover. And she's she works for Not a Cult Media.
Oh, maybe I think we might be able to pull up her name here. Cassidy?
Yes, there you go, Cassidy. I knew it started with a C, but I didn't want to say the wrong name.
I can't really it's hard for me to read the last name, but Cassidy, we'll post and give her credit when we post later. But and so there's a lot of the fruit, mango is consistent throughout, but also like when you were writing it. You were talking to me about how food in general and eating is a really consistent theme throughout the book as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, what y'all don't know is that Mala had a special insight to me putting the book together.
She did.
The book was put together in 2 weeks.
Which is fast.
Yes. A lot of the work existed already, but when my publisher, we signed the contract, they gave me a month. And I think we were both really just eager on both ends just to get a book out and excited. And I'm not a patient person. I'm a Cancer. I'm not a patient person. And so, at the time when I signed the contract, I was in the middle of a bunch of other things, and I wasn't going to have time until mid-August. And so for 2 weeks, 8 hours a day, every day, I sat in this coffee shop in Silver Lake called Café Tropical, and Mala would come and join me most days. and we would sit there, and after we talk shit about everybody.
Yeah, for a few hours.
After we talk shit about all the gentrifiers in Silver Lake, then I would work on the book, and at the time I was going through a breakup the relationship that I wrote about, and Mala, like, a lot of times had to, like, walk me through my feelings, and then I'd be like, oh, I know what poem is missing, and then I would be able to go back to that. So, in the book, I use the word hunger and eating a lot, because I think as Latinas too, we have such a complicated relationship with food, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I deal with an eating disorder on a regular basis, compulsive eating. And so I compare that a lot to the way that you love. Sometimes it's just so compulsive.
Right.
That you just want to be in love. And then also, like, we express love through eating and through food. There's a poem called Mocajete. And it's about, like, making salsa verde and comparing a relationship to making salsa verde and stuff like that. But, yeah, so food is very integral to the way that we love.
And there was a term that you use in Spanish to describe that feeling of eating so much or having so much of something that you're sick of it.
Having so much of something sweet is empalagar.
Yes.
And which is, and so there's a poem in that, because the word doesn't exist in English.
Right.
And I think that that's also, as Latinas, we love like that a lot. What sometimes the way we love someone doesn't exist in the other language. Either way that we're going, you know, like, most of my last relationship was with a black man, and so there were a lot of things of each other's lives that we couldn't translate for each other, right? Like,
sure,
like my experience as a brown woman and his experience as a black man, and so there's a lot lost in translation, and I express that a lot within the book too.
Yeah, I think the book really captures this kind of duality of existing in this, you know, these two languages of not really having the words. Yeah. But having the words in both languages, if that makes sense. Like,
yes.
Really doing that interchange, that, what is that word, when you code switch.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I think that's what a lot of, I would say, your readers can really relate to, loving in two languages.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, I make it a point that a lot of writers italicize when they switch, when they use Spanish, or if they're writing in English, when they use Spanish, or the other way around. And I don't. Because I feel that both languages exist in me at the same time.
Right.
And so I just treat them like everything. And there's a lot of Spanish within the book. Enough where if you're only an English reader, you could still understand.
Right.
But I also, there's a poem at the end, a very small poem, that's completely in Spanish. And my thing is, in anything that I publish that I want my mother to be a part of, I create something that's completely in Spanish for her to be able to have her own experience with it.
Right.
And without it having to be translated.
So, speaking about your mother, I'm wondering, what has it been like for you telling your family about being published?
They don't know. They don't.
Oh, they don't know.
They know that I'm being published. I told them I want them to be there. Some of them are excited, some of them aren't. I think because nowadays publishing is so accessible to people, you know, with Amazon and Create Space and all that stuff, like, people hear, oh, you're being published, like
you know. Like, it's more common now, maybe, than it has been in the past. Or more common for people like minorities, women, people of color than previously.
But for me, I'm to be here for a little bit, but my publisher, the people that run my publishing company are white, right? And the artist that created the art is a white woman. And I say this because in the Latinx community, you've made it when you got white people working for you. And so, like... This is what I'm trying to, like, express to my family, where it's just like, no, it's not that, like, it doesn't take anything away from you if you self-published. I think it's an amazing feat. Obviously, it's something that I don't know how to do myself, and I waited until a publisher approached me. But on the other side of that, like, there's a whole team that believes in my vision enough to work for me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, without me having to invest in... They're investing in me, you know, and they're taking a risk with publishing a book that might not sell or not. Luckily, that hasn't been the problem. But
you've been doing very well with the pre-sales.
Yes.
Tell us about the pre-sales.
I don't know exactly the number of pre-sales, but I do know my publisher told me that we've been selling every day since we um, pre since our book went up for pre-sales.
Wepa. And that's so awesome. That's amazing.
And so at least I know what we announced it like a month ago. So at least I know I've sold 30 copies at least.
That's
no,
good.
But no, we've sold a large amount to where I think we're going to need to do a second edition really soon.
Oh my God.
And so that's really, really exciting. Especially because this is my debut, like, actual book, my chat books, my zines that I've done, I consider them my mixtapes, and this is my EP.
I love it.
And so it's my first, like, it's my debut, you know, album.
You're official. You're official. Like, you're certified, you're official. And I do want to say that I want to honor the fact that you have self-published, you know, on a smaller scale, but you've been self-publishing for a while.
Yes.
With your chat books.
And I've sold thousands of copies self-published.
Absolutely.
And it's valid, and it's an accessible way to get your work to other people, but it's just really hard to stay on top of it and to, like, deal with all of the logistics of it while you're a touring artist and while you're still expected to create new things perform and host workshops and be emotionally available to your followers. And I'm very blessed that I have so many of them, but it's a lot of work. And sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to go to the post office, or I don't want to sit here and label all these envelopes. Not that I'm ungrateful. It's just that I could be doing, like, I want to be doing other things. So now that there's a whole company that's willing to do that for me, I'm so excited. Yeah. That's what I'm the most excited about, that I don't have to worry about orders getting to where they need to get to.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, it's a huge accomplishment. We are so proud of you. Like, the Mommy Collective, like, we are so fucking proud of you. Locatora, we're so proud of you. And, you know, when you had put out a post about if anybody wants to interview me about the book, and Diosa right away texts me and she's like, hello, we need to interview her.
I was like, wait a second. This is like an unspoken thing. Like, wait a second.
I know, but it's also interesting to be friends with, once you become friends with people that have platforms, right? Like, you're like, well, you're my friend. You know everything there is to know, but we forget that there's, like, the whole rest of the world that's listening.
Yes.
And then I'm like, because if I come on Locatora, I'm just going to tell you everything I already told you.
Everything in the group chat.
In the group text. Because the thing about the Mommy Collective is we talk every day, all day.
Like, all the time.
Basically 24/7.
All day long.
Yeah. And a lot of us don't really sleep, so we're really talking all the time.
There's always a message. Yes. Just like, guess what so-and-so told me? Or it's like, this mother,
Her Garo sending her memes or her some shit.
There's always some shit.
Garo sending her memes.
Marita sends the overheard in downtown LA.
Oh, yes.
Right?
That's her thing.
Garo sends her memes. Mala is always talking shit about some dude. I'm always like, can you believe this person commented this?
Yeah.
That's a big one with us, is the online activity in the comments and stuff.
It's such a gift to be friends with women that understand what it is to have a platform on social media. I worry a lot with a lot of my friendships in my life that I become overbearing, right? Talking about all these things that I do, because Instagram is such a huge part of my life. But to people that don't have that or don't do that, they're like, it's Instagram, calm the fuck down,
right?
But for me, it's my livelihood, it's my work. Like, I book the events I book because of my following on Instagram, because of that. So it's really, I'm just so happy that I have friends that get it. And when I'm like, I have 25,000 followers, like, y'all get excited for me. But if I tell, like, the homie next door or whatever, I'd be like, all right, that's cool. Like, you had 24,000 yesterday, so what's the big deal? I'm like, no, it's a milestone. Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, we love Instagram, and we'll talk about Instagram all day.
And we do.
Yes.
We have, we're going to come into our song break now.
Podcasteras peligrosas.
back, and we're back with Jessica, and we're still talking about Corazon, yes, and being on the internet and talking shit and, yeah, all that good stuff.
You know what I think is one of my favorite things, I think, that I relate to the most in the book is the way you sprinkle poems about your mental health.
Yes.
Throughout the book. Mm-hmm. All in relationship to being in love individually with your family, all of the above, which I think a lot of us with any type of mental health disorder can really relate to, how you can separate it. So can you tell us a little bit more about writing about your depression and what that has been like?
Yeah, I think when I was trying to tell the story of so Corazon is a story of a relationship, right? Not verbatim any of the relationships I've lived, but it may be like accumulation of all of them. And it's this big old love story. But in telling a love story, for me, I think my mental health has to be a part of it, because it affects the way that I love so much, right? My anxiety, my depression, the voices in my head that tell me that, like, I'm not deserving of love, mm-hmm, and the decisions I've made because of that, or the days that I need, whatever it is that I need in the moment, it will affect the way that I can love someone or someone can love me. And so it was a conscious decision to include that within the book. And it was tricky in the sense that I didn't want it to feel like I was a victim of myself.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't, because sometimes when we talk about, like, well, my depression, and, oh, I'm so terrible for letting my depression do this to me, or like, or I'm this, you know, and I'm like, no, like, it's something that I have. And there's a poem in the first chapter that's called My Depression Speaks to Me. And in the poem, the depression is like asking me, like, are you going to tell him that this is what you deal with? Like, are you going to tell him that you have depression, or are you just going to wait until it pushes him away?
Got it.
And I think that that's always, like, the decision that you make when you're in a relationship. You're like, well, you know, when do I tell him I have mental health issues?
Right.
Or do I let him figure it out and see if he's going to stay or if he's going to go? And I think that in every relationship, there's that period where, like, you have to decide what's going to happen. Like,
right,
when he asks you why you're up really late every night, do you just tell him that you're an like you're just a night owl, or that your anxiety doesn't let you sleep?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so there's always that question of, like, when can I be vulnerable, and when can I allow this person? And so in the chapter that's about falling in love, it's kind of like the surrender. Like, okay, well, here I am with my issues, both mental and physical, and, like, he says it's okay, so I'm gonna believe him.
Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting, because the parts of you that are visible to others are just as integral and important to your functioning as the parts that are invisible to others.
Yes.
So it's like, what parts do you choose to show, and do you have no choice to show? And how people react to each and every part of you.
Right.
Definitely. And there's a chapter in the Falling in Love section that's called Peluda. And it talks about facial hair, and how I wouldn't want to stay over at a partner's house because I didn't want him to see that, like, I shaved my face. And so in the book, I also allude to my mental health in that poem, I allude to my mental health within it too, because I feel that, like, my anxiety is a part of that too.
Mm-hmm.
And then it talks about finally spending the night at his house, and thinking, like, so this is what love feels like. Mm-hmm. In this moment, it is safe for me to stand here in your kitchen with all my facial hair and all my issues and, like, whatever it is. And it's just, I'm just me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's an important thing that we seek. We're always looking for that in love.
Yeah, that safetiness. That this person isn't going to leave because you have, you know, an anxiety attack, right? Or because, you know, you have acne or you have facial hair, you know, these things that you're insecure about, and that your anxiety are also hidden.
Right. And if they do leave, which in the book they do leave. And when they left, it's the dealing with the self-talk afterwards, where, like, I pushed him away. And there's a lot of that in the book. There's a lot about, like, you couldn't put up with me anymore. And then there's a lot of the, like, no, but I'm okay. I'm going to be okay, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to be okay, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, that's kind of what we got
to
deal with.
Ultimately, that's what happens when you go through a breakup. That mm-hmm. self-talk of, like, I did all this shit, or they did all this shit. No, you're going to be okay. No, you're not. Yes, you are. No, you're
yes.
not.
Yes, you know?
The back and forth, the back and forth. And I love how, on the topic of love, like, the book deals with love on many different levels and in many different directions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Love of self, love of a man, love of family, love of your tierra.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that a lot of the terms that you use are very intimate terms that, like, we would call each other, that you would hear within family specifically, mm-hmm. not amongst strangers. Like you talked about corazón, or gorda mm-hmm. is another title of another poem, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that it's just so beautiful the way that you incorporated that, like, intimate, like, even familial love into the work.
Right. I think even homegirl love is in there.
Yes. There's one about homegirl love, which is a very brief, short. I think sometimes you could tell the biggest story with the shortest span of time. And it's about someone just asking you if you have a bobby pin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you giving a girl a bobby pin and just sitting together in the bus headed home. And like, the poem doesn't say if it's a stranger or if it's your homegirl or whatever. It just says that it's another woman. And but all that love that I made sure to include into the book is because you can't separate any of that.
Yeah.
Your family teaches you to love. So that was like the groundwork to what I was doing. I'm like, I know everything I know about love is what my parents taught me. And my parents taught me to love their home country, El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents taught me that love is dysfunctional because they were dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
And then they taught me that love forgives, but they also told me that love hurts. And that was the groundwork to, like, everything that I've done. I'm like, you have to know my relationship with my family before you know my relationship with men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the book begins and ends where I'm talking about my roots, you know, and which is my family in El Salvador.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
And I love also how you describe so much of El Salvador and, like, the trees, the actual, like, the property that your family has down there. And when I would go sit with you at Café Tropical, right, and you were describing to me, like, your memories of being mm-hmm. in El Salvador, and it's been a few years, like, it gave me such an insight into you, you know, that I would have no access to those, that type of information about you, because I've never been to this place.
Yes.
I've never been with you in this place, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's important for me to talk about my love to Salvador for you to understand how I live in constant nostalgia.
Mm.
Right.
And I think that affects the way that I love too. Like, I'm a very melancholy, nostalgic person. I idealize a lot of things. I live, like, in theory a lot. And I think that you have to understand that about me to understand how I approach love. The man that the book is mostly about always tells me that. Mm. He's always just like, you're always living in what things should be, but not in what things are. And at first I get pissed because, I mean, we have other issues. I was on the phone with him before I got here, so I'm like, whatever. But he's right. Like, right? I'm always just like, this is what we should be looking like right now. This is what everything should be because this is what they told me it was going to be.
Mm.
And that's what El Salvador was for me. I grew up listening to all the stories about my mom, and then I showed up as a 12-year-old for the first time. I was like, what the fuck is all of this? And then going back and spending so many summers, and then going as a teenager, and then not going for a while, and then going as an adult, I was just like, I didn't realize shit was this fucked up.
Right.
And then now, not having gone 7 years, everything looks different in retrospect because it's been so long, so the nostalgia is, like, making everything softer and pretty. Yeah, it's constantly changing.
Yeah, I think that's a really common feeling when you haven't been to your home country in a long time.
Yes.
You know, I think about my father and how he has only been back to Peru a few times since he immigrated here. And that kind of, I feel that nostalgia for him, you know, even though that's not something he may feel, but it's like, I haven't been back to Peru in almost 4 years. And, like, I feel so much nostalgia, you know, in a country that I wasn't born in,
right.
You know? So it's this kind of, I completely relate to what you're saying about the way we love our families and our countries. And then the way it also affects the way we love our partners.
Yes. Definitely.
And I wonder, Jessica, like, if you had gone to El Salvador recently and then wrote the book, like, if you went last year and then this opportunity still came to write the book, how do you think that maybe the book would have come out differently?
The book, there would have been more of a duality within the book. I think it would have been more of a clear line between, like, this is, it adds when you go back home and you come back even more confused.
Mm, yeah.
Because I live my life here being like, I'm Salvadoran. I'm Salvi. I'm a Salvi poet. Mm-hmm. I'm Salvi. I'm Central American. Don't call me Mexican. Call me Salvi, right? Like, and then I show up in El Salvador and then they're like, you don't have a Salvi accent. Right. You have a Mexican accent. Yeah. Are you Mexican?
You've been in LA for so long.
Are you sure you're not Mexican? Oh, la Americana. La gringa, la gabacha.
Yeah.
And then, like, I stick out like a sore thumb. You could tell I'm not there because people, first of all, because of like, socioeconomic reasons or whatever, people aren't as overweight as I am, right? Also, everything's organic there.
Okay.
So, like, you don't have all the extra shit pumped into you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm already bigger, and that's a whole other thing to navigate. That's a whole other topic. But I just stick out like a sore thumb, so I always come back a little brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A little brokenhearted and a little, like, displaced.
Yeah.
Because I'm upset to be back here where life is such so hustle and bustle and such a fight, a constant fight. But over there, I'm not from there and I'm missing here. And so you're like in this like, where is home? And I think that that's why I tend to make home out of men.
Mm.
And then that's what the book is because I'm always like, okay, well, where do I fit in? You know, like, where do I fit in? So like, I'm trying to build something that's completely mine with somebody else. But we forget that that somebody else is their own person,
right?
And they can't be completely yours instead. And so I think what Corazon comes, the last chapter of Corazon is called The Return,
right?
And
right.
It's about carving your own corner and being like, well, this, like, there's a poem called The House on Parkman Avenue, which is the street that I live on and the home that I grew up in. And it's just a moment where I'm sitting on the couch with my niece and nephew, and my mom and sisters are in the house. And those are, like, the most important people in my life. And, like, that's it. That's my world. And in the moment, that's all. Right in that moment, that's all that matters. And that's my world. Mm. And I think that that's what the book has taught me. That, like, in this world, there's five people that the world can't take from me. And that's what love is. You know, like, that whole thing was just, like, I could travel everywhere, go everywhere and come back. And, like, these five bodies are here and they're mine.
And I think that, and I love that you bring up your mom because, you know, I feel like all three of us really love our mothers.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Like, all three of us have very special relationships with our mothers,
mm-hmm.
and we have great moms.
Right.
You know, and they're all very different, all of our mothers.
Yeah, they are.
But we each will talk about that. And yeah, there is, like, in my life, like, I love my father. He's amazing. He would do anything for me. He would kill for me, and he's fantastic. But there's something about mom. There's something about your mother, and mm-hmm. that mother's love that is just like so intense and unlike any other love you will ever experience mm-hmm. from anybody else, and you know that your mother has your back.
Yeah, and I felt guilty a lot of my work because I write a lot about my dad. My dad passed away 8 years ago, and so my growing up, my dad was an alcoholic, but he and I were close.
Mm-hmm.
We worked together in our adulthood. And so, and then it was his illness and the taking care of him towards the end. So my dad consumed so much of my life, whether it was through abuse or through healing or through whatever it is that we were going through. And my mother has always just been this entity, this constant beam of love and support, and just she was stable. So I never felt like I had to check on her or like be there for her.
Yeah.
And so now in his absence, we've had to redefine our friendship. I mean, our relationship, you know, and also like find when you're an adult, I'm 33 years old. So when you're as old as I am, you have to build a friendship with your mother.
Right.
Right.
Because it's not, you don't need them in the way that you needed them before.
And now so they need you.
And you kind of got to figure out like what your relationship looks like now. And my mom and I are figuring it out. She doesn't get what I do. I told her, I'm like, oh, I'm going to, she works, she's the housekeeper for, famous comedian from the 80s, right? And I was just like, I'm gonna send them a copy of the book, or like tell them about the book, or they want to come to the book release. And she's like, are you sure? Like, you say a lot of really like you say a lot of like wild shit. And I was just like, what are you? And then like I got really defensive. I'm like, what are you talking about? What wild shit are you talking about?
What specifically?
Give me an example. I was just like, are you talking about, when I talk to you about men? I want to talk to you about white people. Like, I don't know. I need to know which one you're like. And so she goes, just on Facebook, you say like really, like really, like, because she follows me on Facebook.
That's funny.
I'm dying.
She doesn't read English, but Facebook translates it for you.
Right.
So
she, that's all she needs.
I forget, and I'd be talking about dick on there. And,
oh my god, I'm dying. That is so true. You do talk about dick on Facebook.
About a lot of shit on Facebook.
And yes, because it's,
and we love it.
It's where, because Instagram is good for posting poetry, whatever, but it's really hard to engage a lot.
Right.
Twitter, I go on rants.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's the character limit and all that. And other things on Twitter. And then on Facebook.
Other things.
And then on Facebook is just where I actually, like, get to have conversations with people. Yeah. And I don't know. I love social media. I don't care about people that knock it and be like,
we don't support those people. No. We don't like those people.
I met, block me.
I met y'all because of Instagram.
Met.
Hello. If that's not valuable, then what?
Then what?
You know.
I have a lot of beautiful people in my life, and half of them I met because of social media.
I completely agree with you.
And you know what I was thinking about the other day? Like, we have been on the internet basically our whole lives.
Yeah.
Like, starting with AIM, starting with AIM, MySpace, and then Facebook, for me, Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram.
Same, in that progression.
And consistently for years.
Well, yeah, we got...
At least us, since we were... I was probably 11, 12 when I was on AIM and stuff. And it's been...
Yeah,
every year, I have been on some type of social media platform since I was 11 years old.
We got a computer in my house. I think I was 16 or 17. Probably 17. And I've been, I mean, I was doing a lot of extra shit. I used to be a catfish. Y'all, I had a made up life. I had a husband, two kids. I got a divorce. It was a lot. I had a novela going. But I've been sharing my poetry online since I was 17 years old. So I've been sharing my poetry online for, 16 years.
A long time.
And so when people ask me, like, how I built the platform or whatever, I'm like, look, my followers are now, like, high up there, but I've been engaging and sharing my work for half of my life.
Yeah. And we've been engaging, like, we have our capítulo about femtech, right?
Right.
I mean, we can talk about how, like, so many women of color are all of our little friends when we were younger and as adults. So many of us have been engaged with the internet and with technology and computers.
We used to design our own MySpace pages.
Yes.
I knew HTML.
HTML, whatever it was.
We've been femtechies for years.
I knew how to add the glitter, the glitter shade on here, and the colors, and like
you put your song.
I got in trouble once for having salt and pepper's the don't want no eeny meeny the short dick man song. I guess I was talking to somebody that had a short dick. I didn't know, and he was like, "Why you put that song on there?"
But all offended.
I miss being able to dedicate a song to somebody on your MySpace.
It's very cute, very romantic.
Yeah.
You can't do that on Facebook no more.
No. Or anywhere,
but
really.
You could still poke people on Facebook.
Or you could put their name with a heart in your bio.
Oh.
And still DM other women. Yeah. But whatever.
That's another capítulo. Yet another capítulo.
That's your capítulo 2 capítulos ago, la otra.
That's true.
That's so true. I love that one.
I love that capítulo because...
That's funny.
Y'all know I've been La Otra for like a minute. And
that's the thing is we wanted to acknowledge we all have, all of us, at some point or the other.
Whether you knew it or not.
On some level, you've been La Otra. Yes, in some way, on some level, you've been La Otra. I'm glad you liked it.
Yes, I was all in it. I was just like, chisme. I was like, I want to know when, where, how, when, why.
What is the tea?
That's so funny.
But in other news... And, you know, there's more to the book as far as you have your book release also coming up. You have a couple different book-related events coming up.
So there's two that I'm very excited about, and they're a month apart. The one that you need to be at this week is at Thursday, October 12th, 7:30 p.m. at Art Share LA. Free to get in, free parking across the street. Yes. I'm really hoping that all of LA shows up.
Oh, and we'll be there.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
The mummies are going to be there, of course, all of us.
I asked her if there was a list so we could get in ahead of
time. Oh, right. No, yeah, honestly.
There is no list, so it will be first come, first serve.
What time should people show up?
7:30. I'm going to start punctually at 8 p.m. I'm trying to get everybody out by 9:30. Like, the show itself done by 9:30.
Yeah.
But afterwards, we will be selling books there, and I will be signing books and taking pictures with you. I mean, you don't have to take a picture with me. I don't want to assume people want to take pictures, but...
Oh, girl, you know they do.
If you follow me, you know that I'm all about the pictures. But basically, I'll be signing books, and I just want you to take Corazon home with you, and it's going to be $15 cash or a card. And yeah, and
you're gonna have some guest poets at your book release.
I have 10 guest poets. So Ooh! I'm hella extra. Most people, if you've never been to a book release, in most poetry circuits, when there's a book release, people will have 4 or 3 of their closest friends or just poets they admire, whatever, come and do a set of their work, read 3 or 4 poems each, and then they'll all go up, and then comes the person that whose book release is, and then they do a whole set. Because I have so many friends I love, and because I'm a diva, mm-hmm. yes. I didn't want anybody else to be doing a set that wasn't me. And so then, but I still wanted to give everybody like hella poems, and I have so many gifted, amazing, legendary poets that are my friends, and I asked them to come and read. So Shihan Van Cleef, who, if you don't know who Shihan is, please look him up. He's one of the founders of the Poetry Lounge. Yes.
Shihan is a legend.
He's a legend.
He is. And he's in the poetry world.
And he's been my coach, and I call him my mentor. I don't know if he agrees, but he's my mentor.
and all had a crush on Shihan at one time lives. time or another. I remember I had the biggest crush. When he had his longer hair and he would wear it up on top, he had his afro puff.
I died because to me, he's like such a, like, not my dad, but he's like such a dad. His kids.
He's got a lot of kids.
Yes, he has 3 kids, but like when women call him like a, yeah, whatever. So Javon Johnson will be there, who's another person who's my mentor, and Javon's so extra. And Alicia Wise, Amin Batra, Angela Aguirre, my Chingona Fire partner, will be hosting.
Yes, we love Angie.
Edwin Bodney, just a bunch of other people that if I go down the list, it'll take too long. But it's 10 folks, and they're doing 1 poem each. And you just get to see who influenced me and why I am who I am as a poet. And then November 11th, which more information will come about that, will be a reading and a discussion and a signing of Corazón at Espacio, hosted by Locatora Radio.
Ooh, ooh. Yes. It's going to be
and
cute.
So that's going to be a so super excited. Cute night with, because I'm a diva and I'm doing 2 book releases.
Yeah, why not?
Right. Why the fuck not?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a big accomplishment. It's a big deal. It's a beautiful book, a labor of love. You poured so much of yourself into it. Yes. Let's Thank celebrate you. It.
Yes.
And I know, and that's the thing is your readers and your followers, your leader, your, I can't talk, your readers and your followers, they want to celebrate with you.
They do. And because a lot of, I share my work online, right? A lot of these poems have already existed on Instagram before. And I feel they, my followers, they don't get it. They were a big part of the book too, because I know what resonates with them. It's not that I'm catering to what they want, but I'm having a conversation. There's a dialogue with the people that support me, and what resonates with them is what pushes me to want to write more about that one specific topic.
Right.
And so when I was choosing the poems, I was literally looking at the comments under poems and stuff like that, and I'm like, okay, this is important because this is important to my followers.
Yeah. So, yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
This was so fun.
So much fun. We have to do this again.
Yeah. And now what, if you excuse us, we're going to go party for Diosa's birthday. Yeah.
Literally. We're like, we got to get done. We got to wrap up. Yeah. We got to get ready to fucking party. So remember October 12th next week at Art Char LA, Yesica's book release.
Yes.
And we also have a fun little announcement.
Super excited. So We, Las Locatoras, are so proud to announce that we will be participating in this year's first ever Podcasterio Fest 2017, which is a Latinx digital media experience.
The Podcasterio Fest was created to amplify the Latinx voices of the podcast world and as a space for the community to discuss the visibility and invisibility of Latinx digital content creators.
Podcasterio Fest 2017 is presented by Molcajete Dominguero, and it will take place Sunday, November 19th at Plaza de la Cultura y Artes in downtown LA. The event is free.
It's a free event. It's open to the public. And if you want more information on Podcasterio Fest and Molcajete Dominguero, please follow on Instagram.
Yes, at Podcasterio Fest. And at Molcajete Dominguero.
That's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. We will share the links. If you missed it, it's already on Instagram, actually.
Yes.
Mala shared it with the, you know, proper tags and all that. So go ahead and find it, and we'll share it. We'll keep sharing it.
Thank you again. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, listeners. Till next time.
Besitos.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save.
UndercoverTourist.com.